In the name of Jesus, amen. My friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A prophet is not welcome in his own hometown. We heard about that a few weeks back. And apparently, if you are a prophet of God in Judah, you're not much welcome in Jerusalem either. The city of peace has the blood of rebellious violence on her hands. And if you want to live long, it is best that you avoid that city altogether. Especially if you go around preaching a word from God. Being God's spokesman, whether an Old Testament prophet or a present-day pastor, can be hazardous to your health. And it won't win you any popularity contests either. But that never seemed to deter the true prophets of God, at least the ones who were faithful to their mission. They were not in it for themselves. They didn't sign up for the job. They were called out by God. And they weren't concerned about being liked as much as they were concerned about being true to their calling as servants of God's word, to be God's voice for his people. God was doing his work through them, and he was gathering to himself his people who are prone to wander. God was saving them from themselves. And that's why he has gathered you here this morning, to save you from all that threatens to undo you and to undo your faith. That is his will this morning. Is it yours? Now that might seem like a ridiculous question. After all, you're sitting in the pews of a church on this Sunday morning. Why else would you be here? But the question may not seem so ridiculous when you look at, for example, at the ministry of a prophet like Jeremiah, whom God sent and told him to stand in the middle of the courtyard of the temple, the church courtyard, for example, and to preach a word, a message, to those who were coming to the temple to worship. And this message was, repent, return to the Lord your God. Don't hold back even one word from them, but preach all of it. And maybe, just maybe, they will listen and turn from their evil ways. And you would think that the religious leaders and fellow prophets would have cheered on Jeremiah's message. They're on the same team, right? But instead, they wanted to put him to death for speaking out against them. Kill the messenger and we can ignore the message. Well, the Pharisees had a message for Jesus. Herod wants you dead. And scriptures tell us that the Pharisees wanted Jesus dead too. His hometown folks even wanted to throw him off a cliff. But Jesus wasn't going to let these threats stand in his way. He knew what awaited him as he still set his face and was making his way toward Jerusalem. Meanwhile, he was casting out demons, healing the sick, curing people of those things which they couldn't cure themselves. The great physician was also the great prophet. He is the Word who became flesh. And Jesus' message was much like that of Jeremiah. Return to the Lord your God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For God is willing to gather you under his wing. But were they willing? Are you willing? Really willing? When it comes to giving up those sins that we love, or to let go of those things that give us a feeling of security, comfort, happiness, are you willing to give them up? And those sins that seem to cling on to us, that we just can't shake ourselves from, try as we might, even if we're willing, we find ourselves unable. So what do we do? Where are we to turn, if not to God? Where do we find hope and peace if it depends on our willingness and our ability? Perhaps another way of thinking about this question is considering our journey through Lent. And what if we were to go through the season of Lent and come to its end, and there was no Good Friday? There was no Easter Sunday. What if Jesus would have listened to those Pharisees and altered his course? What if Jesus never went to Jerusalem? What if he put his desire to avoid the scourgings and the beatings and the humiliation and horrible crucifixion, what if he put all of that above God's desire to save you? What then? What would that look like? I mean, it's easy to take for granted the fact that Jesus knew what lay in store for him in that city that kills the prophets, and yet he consciously and willingly would not be deterred from fulfilling his calling to be the Savior of the world, to die for you. But if he didn't go to Jerusalem, then you would be left to yourself to deal with God. You would have to rely on your will and your determination to live a life pleasing to God. You would have to rely on yourself to turn your life around and return to the God of heaven when you have wandered away by being enticed by your sin, this world, and the devil. You would have to rely on your works and right behavior when you stand in judgment before the all-knowing and most holy God, and you would have to face death on your own, staring it in the face, always looking over your shoulder, not knowing when you will breathe your last earthly breath. All of this for you to face alone if Jesus didn't enter into that city and walk up that hill and die on that cross for you. But Jesus was determined, and he would not be deterred to fulfill what was planned before the foundations of the world. Today and tomorrow, Jesus said, I will cast out demons and I will heal the sick. That was his ministry outside of Jerusalem. But Jesus spoke of a third day, that third day reserved for the city that killed the prophets of God, where Jesus would finish his course. And on a Friday, our Lord would willingly die, giving up his life on a wooden, bloody cross, so that you may not have to face life, death, and judgment alone. His perfect, righteous sacrifice, having no spot, no blemish, has perfected you for all time, says the author of Hebrews. All time. That means today, tomorrow, the rest of your life. There is nothing you and I can do to add one thing to what Jesus has done on the cross for you and me, giving us his perfect righteousness. And on that third day, he would rise from the grave, conquering death and the devil for you. His resurrection is your life, That is your third day. Even in the face of death, when your life's course comes to an end. So why are you here this morning in this church, sitting in that pew on this Sunday morning? You are here this morning because Jesus has gathered you here to care for you. As a hen gathers her chicks and puts them under her wings, so Jesus has gathered you. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus has gathered you under the wing of his church, where you are safe and nurtured and not alone. And under the wing in the waters of your baptism, he cares for you as children, for he's made you his very own. And in these waters, you are free to walk now in the newness of life, to go outside the walls of this church, to love and serve others. And under the wing, Jesus gathers you to feed himself, his very own body and blood, giving you life and forgiveness that he won for you on that cross outside the walls of Jerusalem. And these he gives to you freely, today, tomorrow, and the day after, until that last day, that third day, when our course is finished. When he gathers you under the wings of his resurrection, and he raises you from the dead, and grants you the glorious prize of eternal life. This, my dear Christians, is his will for you. This is why he entered into Jerusalem. And we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.